Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, and declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, and our very good friend, Mr. Tone Vase. Hello, Tone. All right. Yeah, we got started late. We're just yakking it while we were setting, doing settings and so on. One thing I asked Tone Vase is analyst, derivatives trader, and event producer. He's a Bitcoin maximalist. That's what he is, you know. I just, FYI. But the Tone and I have known each other a long time. Since like 13, you know, that we met at a New York Bitcoin conference, became friends, and he's visited with us. He's a great house guest and, you know, whatever. But he, it's like, who triggers me more than Frank? Maybe Tone, you know, I mean, it's just always, he's got a whatever. So we'll get into it. Now, what's going on is, whenever Tone and I usually do one of these shows, there's something going on in Bitcoin. You know, something's happening, and whatever good, bad, he's going to silver line it for us anyway. So we're going to be talking about it. Now, we just had Roger Ver on Monday, and his new book, Hijacking Bitcoin, depicts. I haven't read it yet. I mean, you can just pre-order now. It's coming out, like, next week. And the thing about Bitcoin, when you had Bitcoin Cash fork and a bunch of others, it was, you know, caused a lot of consternation in the crypto space. And I never anticipated that Bitcoin was going to be the only one. Oh my God, everything else should be, you know, deemed counterfeit as not legal tender of, it's not official of Uncle Sam Says crap. Well, that was the whole point, to get away from that, you know? So Tone has always been a Bitcoin maximalist. What would you call yourself? You know, are you a Bitcoin maximalist?
I guess so. I mean, that term was created to kind of demonize people like me. But yeah, if you want to call me a Bitcoin maximalist, sure.
So this is what we're going to do. Do an introduction real quick, you know, Tone and I, and, you know, our friendship and so on, and we, you know a lot of the same people and that kind of thing. But it's, we definitely are on different paths for different reasons, because Tone comes from the banking industry. You know, he was VP at, I don't know, what, Morgan Stanley, JP something. Of what?
JP Morgan.
You know, and so he's financial, and he's at the New York Bitcoin conference, one of them that they had. This, I tell you, this has been my experience. When Bitcoin first came out, they really hit the Liberty community, the Ron Paul Levolution guys, the, you know, Free Talk Live and the Free State Project, New Hampshire, Arizona, you know, was early adopting. We got really big into it. And it was, you know, because we understood as libertarians, as anarchists, voluntarists, leave me aloneists, that people money that didn't have a third party that gave permission. You know, oh, we can see it. We did, yeah, but you couldn't stop it. Okay. So, you know, well, if you don't have anything to hide, I don't care. You can't stop me and bite me. Oh yeah. Well, we got agents with guns and we're going to explain it to you. So the man keeps trying to insert themselves, which has been good because you needed to test the system. Can they stop it? Can they, you know, thwart it? Can they? Well, they'll do anything and everything they can to get control of it, to the point that it becomes GoldmanSucks.gov coin, you know, and that's been my concern. So what I want to do is I'll go ahead and read his bio a little bit, get all official, and then we'll get started, and we're just going to yak it. Tone and I are friends, you know, even though we have, you will find out, we have disagreements. But the thing is that we're going to yak it, and, you know, we'll see what's up. Now, I'm going to go ahead and we'll just, you know, rotate some picks up here and so on while I go over his bio and he can add to it. Tone has worked on Wall Street for 10 years prior to discovering Bitcoin. Since then, he has been educating people on his YouTube channel about the importance of this unique financial technology. Tone has been featured in several documentaries like Magic Money and Bitcoin Beyond the Bubble and several media appearances like CNBC, Russia Today, and more. He is an independent content creator at ToneVase.com, which we'll have up here in a little bit, and the producer of three events, Unconfiscatable, Understanding Bitcoin, and the Financial Summit that we're seeing up here now. I'll put it up in a little bit. For traders and hedge funds, okay, so he's getting into the back-end financial thing that we will talk about. Tone holds a master's degree in financial engineering. Oh, God. Financial engineering, seriously, that's what they call it. Financial engineering from Florida State University, along with bachelor degrees in mathematics and geology. Geology? You get to play geology a little bit?
Yeah, I get to shut down all the crazy climate change nutcases.
Well, here's one thing. You get in a lot of nutcases. You know, people want to, you know, explain it to you. How's that work?
Yeah, no, we can get into the whole climate debate. It's one of my more favorite debates about, whether climate change is man-made or natural. It's natural.
Yeah. Do we have to? I mean, you know.
We don't have to. We got enough to talk about.
Yeah, no, we got plenty to talk about. See, I'm still fixing stuff from the. There is a lot of funky stuff going on with the internet. And I was asking Tone in the pre-show, what's his experience? Because he travels a lot. You know, it's Panama, New York, and where are you hanging out?
Miami. Mostly in Miami. Well, so far this year, I haven't done any international travel. I don't really count Panama because I live in Panama. I'm heading off to El Salvador next week, maybe Honduras. There's a couple of places that I want to check out, Bitcoin related. And after that, there will be Dubai. And I got to stop by the Maldives. I got to talk to the hotel where we're doing the event. You guys see that on the screen. And then I'm not sure. I kind of want to go to a couple of countries in Eastern Europe before that entire, you know, continent is enraged in another world war. So haven't been to Hungary yet or Serbia, Croatia. I want to see those places. I know. I don't even know if they're going to still exist. So we'll see.
This is in the financial industry, from your perspective as banking, you know, I want to get an idea of how on the edge you think we are. And is Bitcoin going to be salvation for, you know, or crypto in general, for a lot of countries and them being able to weather the fall of the dollar or something? We'll get into that. But I wanted to, you know, first we'll start off with why Bitcoin? You know, this technology goes to a lot of stuff. You know, I'm diversified in a bunch of stuff that I'm poor, but I have, you know, a lot of, well, not as poor after my Doge went up. You know, Ernie, you got Doge? I can't believe you got Doge. That was my middle finger to the man. And pile it on. Oh, it's 3 cents? Fine. Give me a bunch. Then it goes to 20 whatever cents. I don't even look anymore. You know, I got enough that, you know, it makes a difference. But I bought these for different use case, and there's one, middle finger to the man, Doge. Then, you know, like Raven Coin for some like deeds or doing property back, you know, that kind of promise that they had. Bitcoin Cash because it freaking works and the transaction fees are not, oh my God. And just in the last few weeks, I mean, we've gotten to where a Bitcoin transaction is over $30. I mean, it's already $5.
How's your Dash doing? How's your Dash portfolio?
I get paid in Dash, you know, for some advertising we do on Genesis. So I'm just going to, I don't know. I didn't know what it was before, but now I got Dash. So I'm like, I'm good, you know. They all go up when Bitcoin goes up. All right, tell me this. Bitcoin, it does the, you know, goes over 70,000. It's going to go to the moon, whatever, because we'll talk about ETFs, all that crap. But then all of a sudden, Bitcoin Cash took a big run. And it started to separate from Bitcoin. Tell me about that. Why is that happening? I look up and all of a sudden it's $500-something, you know, Bitcoin Cash. I didn't even look this morning. I go look, I probably get scared. But the thing, you know, Bitcoin Cash is starting to separate from Bitcoin. Why is that happening?
Well, it's really not. It's so Bitcoin Cash specifically. Oh, by the way, just for my audience watching, Ernie. Oh, what the hell just happened to my camera? Ernie was the first person to ever interview me. So I will always make time to come back to Ernie's show because he was literally the first person who ever gave me an interview. And then I, of course, used that interview to get myself some other speaking gigs and other interviews. So, Ernie, you helped kick off my public speaking career. So thank you. And we met at the first conference I ever attended. So that was really cool. So what happened with Bitcoin Cash was a few months ago.
Oh, my God. It's at 628 now. Holy crap. That's it separating, man. Oh, my God. All right. This news.
So what happened to Bitcoin Cash a few months ago is a company backed by Fidelity announced that they were going to have like a Bitcoin index and or like a crypto index or some kind of product. And Bitcoin Cash became part of that product. And because it had a bank, a really major bank like Fidelity, which isn't really a bank, a financial institution, that's actually the reason why it went up. So ironically, the reason for the big pump that drove Bitcoin Cash from, I don't know what it was, like $100 or something, up to 500, had that massive run, was literally because it suddenly got associated with the man. And I know that's something you don't like, Ernie,
don't like.
But as crazy as it sounds, that's the main reason it went up. And right now it's still kind of on the tails of that. And Bitcoin is pumping and people get confused. Is Bitcoin Cash Bitcoin?
Nobody's confused. You guys keep, you've been sirening that forever. Nobody's confused, okay? Maybe grandma that doesn't have, anybody that's investing or buying anything is not confused, okay? You put that one to bed. They're too stupid to invest in crypto then. So this is, you know, I'm looking at it now. It's 628, and then let's see, Bitcoin is at 69,790. So, you know, it's kind of 10 to 1 kind of deal. Or is that 100 to 1? 10 times. Yeah.
It's 100 to 1.
100 to
it's
1.
It's over 100 to 1. Right.
So, it used to track pretty close, you know, like that. And I just always been of the opinion that it was Tone Vase. If you ever hear this phrase, this came from Tone and I talking one time. Again, because he goes like this. I'm like, you know, Bitcoin transactions are, oh, my God, it's not the promise that they had before. It was almost zero transaction fees that you could do it, and it worked really fast, and da-da-da-da-da. So then the argument is, well, it's a store of value. It's like gold. You're not trading gold. You want silver. Tone goes, what do you want, Ernie? Bubblegum money? And I'm like, yes, I do. That's what the promise was.
Hey,
so if it's not a currency, then what the hell good is it? You know?
Let's back up for one second, right? So you know how you say Bitcoin's transaction fees were almost zero, right? Bitcoin transaction fees were almost zero because Bitcoin was worth almost zero. Today, Bitcoin is worth $70,000. Bitcoin Cash today is worth almost zero. It's only $600. You see, transactions in crypto are denominated in the crypto you are transacting in. So imagine if you have to pay 1 penny for a U.S. dollar transaction, but the U.S. dollar became 100 times more expensive. And that 1 penny, which used to buy you nothing, suddenly buys you a cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, you're still paying 1 penny for a U.S. dollar transaction, but that penny happens to buy you a cup of coffee, right? Like, that would piss you off also. Like, back in the day, 1 penny was actually worth something. If you go back 100 years before the Federal Reserve, you can actually buy things for a penny. Imagine if all of a sudden the U.S. dollar became so expensive that you had to pay 1 penny to transact your U.S. dollars, but that penny buys you $5 worth of goods today, right? This is one of the problems. The reason why Bitcoin Cash transactions are so cheap is because Bitcoin Cash is cheap.
What? It doesn't matter how, if I do, you know, a $5 transaction or a $50,000 transaction, it's still going to cost me a transaction fee. What are you talking about?
But that fee is denominated in a currency that's so expensive right now. That's the problem. If you don't denominate the fee in dollars and you denominate the fee in the currency that you are transacting in, the fees are not that different. It's just that Bitcoin Cash is 100 times cheaper. So by default, if you're paying right now, you're paying $2.50 for a Bitcoin transaction. But Bitcoin Cash is 100 times cheaper. So a transaction in Bitcoin Cash currency, if you take $2.50 and you move the decimal point twice, you end up with a 2-cent transaction. So a $2.50 transaction in Bitcoin is identical to a 2.5-cent transaction in Bitcoin Cash.
Is that what you tell yourself at night?
That's what it is. You move the decimal point 2 times because Bitcoin is 100 times more expensive. And
so
on top
what
of
you've
that,
done, just what you said, okay, this is because this is why Tone Bays is a Bitcoin maximalist, okay? You are not using Bitcoin as a currency. You can't with these transaction fees. I don't give a crap what percentage it is. You know, it is not going to be used in any. You're right. You're denominating it in dollars. We got to abandon the dollar and be done with dollars and go to crypto, and I'm with you. But even then, I'm not wanting to give up that much resource to make the transaction. It's just, it's dumb. You know, it's not, that wasn't the promise that we were given. See, I started covering Bitcoin. A lot of you guys, you think you're all Bitcoin and you're a super geek of whatever the hell and so on. We started from the beginning. I remember when Bitcoin was, I don't know, less than a dollar. You know, it was like dollars a day. And my first Cassatius coin was $3 and something. I mean, you know, so I got $70,000 hoodies in my closet. I mean, you know, how much can I spend? Because we were of the mind that you had to spend it. It had to be used to give it value. Well, in that use, I think the transaction fee is just whittle it down. It's like getting taxed and taxed, and of every transaction, tax and tax in the tax. You know, I just, no, it just, every time you're using it as a currency, then it doesn't work because it costs too much for the transactions. And you go, oh, but it's a small and it's a store of value and it's not really meant to buy coffee. What do you want? Bubblegum money, Ernie, that kind of thing. Yes, I do. Because if it's not, if it doesn't have use as a currency, then it doesn't have any intrinsic value. Because my thing is,
you need to use
what?
Second layer solutions like Lightning. I know Lightning is not great yet, but it'll get better.
Oh God! Or 2 weeks away? Yeah, 2 weeks away. You know,
I never said it was 2 weeks away. I don't even use it yet. It's like maybe a year away.
You know what was the other one? SegWit or something? Is that what they called it?
We're using SegWit now, pretty much every transaction.
Blah, blah, blah. The point is that I'm going, if you're going to have a cryptocurrency, you know, what else you gonna call it, if it's going to have value, then I can use it like I can cash. So when they went Bitcoin Cash, it was more like, hey, it worked. You know, and when you had the big giant flood in Liberty, all of a sudden, boom, the transactions get backed up and they go up in fee to be able to push it through. It's sitting out there just being a pain in my butt. And I just like, look, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work when I need it, especially when I need it. Oh, man. And then Tone, this is just one Tone's. I'm sure this will come up. He goes, well, no, you don't want to go to a restaurant that doesn't have a line around the block, right? I mean, you know, you'll get in there, you get a good meal, it'll be all right. I'm going, no, I go to McDonald's or whatever. I mean, you know, I just want to get fed. You know, well, probably not McDonald's. But, you know, the point is that I'm the value that these cryptos have is the fact that you can use cheap, inexpensive, fast transactions. That was the promise. And Bitcoin did everything they could to not do that. With Lightning Networks and side chains and all this other crap, it was to make another person, a third party, more wealthy. It was for the bank.
But,
you do Lightning,
Ernie,
you might as well call it a branch, a bank. You know? I'm just, no, you're not going to get me off the currency thing.
Bitcoin developers did everything they could to make sure the price of Bitcoin is up at $70,000 today and not at $600.
Oh, my God. Do you think Bitcoin wouldn't be worth like a gazillion? It's always this lost opportunity cost that nobody ever even looks at. I'm going, how valuable would Bitcoin be if it was more private, faster, cheaper transactions, less centralized. You know what I mean? That's what gave it its prominence now. What if you had more of that?
But here's the problem. Here's the problem, Ernie. The more you mess with the code of Bitcoin, the less decentralized it becomes. Yes, we can stick privacy into Bitcoin, but by doing so, we would destroy the trust that it's a decentralized network. And that's why being decentralized and being something that nobody controls is just more important than on-chain privacy. It's unfortunate that Satoshi originally built it not private, but he had his reasons for doing so, and changing it is almost impossible without destroying the thing that gives it the most value, which is the fact that nobody controls it.
You know, I'm not the big giant, it's got to be private guy. You know, I don't care. You know, that's not the point. My biggest value in this, privacy would be good, and there are other ones for that. But the biggest thing is that they can't stop it. You know, they can't control it. They
take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't. Touch me, Photo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Photo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden is set to visit Baltimore on Friday to meet with state and local officials involved in recovery efforts after the bridge collapsed. The president has pledged full federal support following last week's disaster when a cargo ship hit the Key Bridge, causing it to collapse. Upon Congress's return from Easter recess next week, lawmakers may consider voting on further aid for Ukraine. House Speaker Mike Johnson mentioned during an interview on Fox News' Sunday Night in America that the proposed supplemental aid includes funding not only for Ukraine, but also for Israel and the Indo-Pacific region. The White House is investigating reports of an Israeli airstrike targeting a senior Iranian military commander in Syria Monday. The strike occurred near the Iranian embassy in Damascus, and several sources indicate that the commander from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was killed in that attack. The incident coincides with an ongoing conflict between Hamas and Israel. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation with Tone Vase, TONEVAYS.com. Tone Vase is what could only be called a Bitcoin maximalist. Now, Tone and I have been good friends for well over a decade, and it kind of came up from a different perspective on cryptocurrency, and we're having that discussion for you now to understand behind the scenes and what is so important from each of our perspectives on cryptocurrencies. Last week we had Roger Veer on with his book HijackingBitcoin.com, and the discussion kind of goes along those lines of where is cryptocurrency going as the planet starts to implode and the dollar is going to lose its reserve status. What does that mean? What does it mean for crypto? How many different cryptos are there? Thousands. And which ones are rising to the top? Well, this is an important conversation for you to understand the future of everything. Now the continuation of the conversation with Tone Vase and Ernest Hancock.
It's unfortunate that Satoshi originally built it not private, but he had his reasons for doing so, and changing it is almost impossible without destroying the thing that gives it the most value, which is the fact that nobody controls it.
You know, I'm not the big giant. It's got to be private guy. You know, I don't care. You know, that's not the point. My biggest value in this, privacy would be good, and there are other ones for that. But the biggest thing is that they can't stop it. You know, they can't control it. They can't manipulate it to maximize, you know, transaction fees. That was never a goal. It was to keep the memory down as low as possible with some BS reasoning you guys, you know, do that. I don't care. But it is the promise in the beginning when they started this. They would come to all of us and they go, the talk show host and the Liberty Community and the Lovolution and all that kind of stuff. And they go, oh, people's money. This is what all you freaking anarchist libertarians have been screaming about. We've been following the possibility of this since from Crossbows to Cryptography article in 87, 88. Predicting we would publish that article in our newspapers in the 90s and so on, saying when they fix this, when cryptography comes in to currency, it's over. E-Gold started in the early 2000s. When I started doing radio in 03, we were trading, doing donations in E-Gold. You know, and then the man came after that. So we knew that there was eventually sometime there was going to be a break to where people were the platform, nodes were, but there was no third party. It was a philosophy. It was a goal. And when Bitcoin came out, that we all understood, here we go. Now, as a banker guy in New York, and you go to the Bitcoin conference when you and I first met, you went there because why? What was it that drew you? What was the, you know, the opportunity, the threat, the tickled your fancy, you wanted to go? What was it?
So I discovered Bitcoin about maybe 6 months to a year before we met at that 2014 conference in New York. And the reason I discovered Bitcoin was, ironically, also because of Ron Paul. I was following the Ron Paul campaign in 2011, 2012. And the only place to actually watch his presentations, his interviews, in order to follow the Ron Paul campaign, you had to watch Russia Today, RT, to follow Ron Paul. It was either Russia or Al Jazeera. So the Russians and the Iranian, Al Jazeera is, I think it's Qatar, station, news channel. So you had to follow those alternative channels in order to follow Ron Paul and his run for president, because the U.S. media was not covering Ron Paul at all, as you know very well. And while following the Ron Paul campaign on RT, I discovered shows like Max Kaiser's Kaiser Report and Capital Account. Lauren Lister was the host at the time. And they taught me about Bitcoin because I'm like, oh, this show seems interesting. So I would catch Max Kaiser every now and then, and Capital Account I used to watch. They'd have on pretty good guests. And these were very libertarian, you know, freedom-minded shows. That even though I didn't always agree with Max Kaiser's views on finance and the banks and all that stuff, the Bitcoin part that he would talk about was interesting to me. And then in 2013, when I watched the Cyprus bank confiscation, you remember that one, right? Where the European government confiscated 50% of everyone's money in Cyprus banks above 100,000 euros. You had 200,000 euros, they took 50 to bail in the banks.
Yeah.
And that incident made me very skeptical of the banking system and got me to look into Bitcoin. So that was mid-2013. And then there was a New York Bitcoin Center opened early 2014. It was a few blocks away from my job. I started going to the Bitcoin Center, met a bunch of Bitcoiners. And from there, I went to my first conference, or you and I met in New York. But for me, the most important thing was always unconfiscatability. Holding your wealth in an asset that the government can't confiscate from you. And Bitcoin remains as the only asset that I trust for the property of unconfiscatability. and I own the domain unconfiscatable.com. We have a Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas called Unconfiscatable. If you Google Unconfiscatable, you basically get my brand. And that's the main reason what drove me to Bitcoin. There it is.
Okay, now you have a poker tournament every year doing this, and
yes,
you know, yeah. Well, you guys don't. I'm the reigning champion. I won the poker at Magic Money in the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. They had a thing. There was like 70, 80 people. I just played to stay in for the fun. I actually won, and I got 2 Bitcoin. Wish I had those. I
mean, nice.
That was back when it wasn't as much. This is, but your attention to the space was because what did you see as the future? What was it that you were thinking was coming? You know, what were you preparing for? What was it? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's cool. But was it a philosophical thing or just a money-making opportunity thing? You know, another, what did you see it coming from the legacy banking system?
No, you know, it wasn't a money opportunity thing. It was more, I did think Bitcoin could go up. I was still very skeptical that it would last. It could, like, crash. So I didn't put crazy amount of money into it at all. And then I've made some bad investments after that. And at first, one of the reasons why I did look into Bitcoin was in order to use it for gambling, because gambling was not allowed at the time. And I'm like, hey, this is what you can do to get around the system a little bit. And you can put a $100 bet on a sports game. And I did. And then I ended up, my team won, but it didn't cover the spread. And suddenly I'm like, wow, did I just lose a Bitcoin on this $100 bet? After learning so much about Bitcoin, I'm like, maybe this thing will go up in the future. But the main reason was, of course, to protect your wealth. And I still believe that the U.S. dollar is going to get stronger versus other fiat currencies. I do think the United States will collapse as a global superpower. I do think the United States will split into multiple countries. And I do think the days of federal government's overreach globally and even domestically is going to come to an end. But that end is not going to be pretty. And I still think we're about 6 years away from everyone recognizing that the United States is going to split into multiple countries. And once that happens, I think Bitcoin plays a huge dominant role. I think by 2030, you're going to see multiple countries be more open to Bitcoin. Because once the U.S. dollar falters, what do these countries do, especially the ones that are pegged to the dollar? Are they going to peg to the Chinese currency? Are they going to try to go back to gold? I don't think those are viable options. And I think Bitcoin becomes the only option to back their own currency. So I think fiat currencies will still be around, but more countries and more companies, just like MicroStrategy and Tesla owns 10,000 Bitcoin, I think a lot more countries are going to buy Bitcoin for protection to make sure their companies, survive the breakup of the United States, and so will countries.
You didn't mention, you know, a lot of the places that you're going. You didn't talk about Argentina. You know, Malay being crypto friendly, I guess. And then El Salvador, you know, that was always a thing, but then they came out with their own state wallet. Oh, yeah, you know, that'll work. And then you have what Argentina is bringing, some understanding of the free market of money. Are you going to go? I mean, they're going to be, I think they're going down there to do something. So is in Argentina and all you guys radar screen, we're going to have GoldmanSachs.gov coin CBDC Argentina or something? You know, what are you guys thinking about going on there?
I do like El Salvador. El Salvador doesn't have very good infrastructure yet. I mean, El Salvador has been a basket case prior to Bukele taking over. And El Salvador is going to get so much better now that he's been reelected. I have huge expectations for El Salvador. I am very skeptical on Malay and Argentina. I will go down to Argentina. I've been to Argentina like 6-7 years ago. I will go down there. Argentina is great, but I am very skeptical on Malay.
Because
it feels like Malay was a little bit of a plan. So let's break down Malay real quick. He has some good ideas. You know, firing a bunch of useless government employees, great idea. Trying to stabilize the currency, whether he, you know, dollarizes it, like something more stable, great idea. But his other views and ideas are so batshit crazy.
Like what?
That it's possible, like, for example, pulling out of BRICS, not wanting to do business with Russia, China, his neighbor Brazil. BRICS are the future. Russia, China, India, Brazil, the countries they added, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, I'm a little skeptical on.
Well, what does that mean, adding? You know, the fact that they exist or whatever doesn't mean you got to join it. I mean, you know, why would he join anything? It's like, why doesn't he just go ahead and go to NATO or something? Who cares? You know,
It's an economic union for better economic cooperation between countries. So countries that are in the same economic union start to integrate their economies. And it's one of those famous sayings. I don't know who said it. You know, when goods stop crossing the border between your countries, soldiers will likely follow, right? You've heard this phrase many times. So countries that enter cooperative economic agreements and their companies have more freedom to work with each other economically lowers the incentives of confrontation between the countries. Like Canada, America, and Mexico, they're on very good economic terms. You have very low probability of America going to war with Canada, America going to war with Mexico, right? Now, Russia and Ukraine used to have very good economic relations, and that was ruined. You're seeing what's happening, okay? Argentina the prior administration of Argentina was invited, and they wanted to join this economic union between Russia, China, Brazil, with the new countries they were adding. Now, Malay comes in. He wants nothing to do with that union. Malay is in favor of everything America tells him to do. American federal government is very happy that Malay got elected, which is completely different than Bukele. And being America's friend is very, very dangerous. Again, look at Ukraine and look at other parts of the world. Malay is putting in people like in charge. I mean, yes, he's doing some of the libertarian things, but the other things he's likely going to do is I can see him creating a situation where there's bad blood between Argentina and Brazil, creating more
Brazil communist. That's why
in Latin America.
Brazil, Venezuela, they went communist. They kicked out and went all Biden on the conservatives, and they want to do whatever the heck it is they want to do.
So Venezuela is actually slowly coming back. I'm more looking forward to visiting Venezuela later this year than I am Argentina, but I will be going to both. Venezuela is trying to turn things around. Yes, Colombia elected a socialist leader. Yes, Brazil elected a socialist leader, but the election in Brazil was obviously fraudulent. The election in Brazil was as bad, if not worse, than the Trump-Biden election in 2020. And the people of Brazil...
Are you an election denier, Tone?
Oh, I was there on January 6th. I think you know that, right?
No, I didn't know that. Were you,
yeah,
you
I was
in the
there
crowd?
Protesting.
Did you go in the Capitol?
I can't talk about it too much, but I was there. I did not go inside the Capitol, but I got to the Capitol so early. Like, I got there before the masses. But what I did was, instead of being part of the group that entered the Capitol, maybe the statute of limitations has passed. I climbed onto a statue and I was live streaming and recording the breach of defense of people running into the Capitol. So I actually avoided standing on the grass that people got arrested for as well. I was just outside the fence, and because I got there so early, I was able to climb on one of those statues by one of the memorials, was live streaming the whole thing. And those videos have been banned from YouTube. I almost lost my YouTube channel. It was banned under misinformation statute.
You send them to me, I'll put them up. I go, vote. You know, Tone says, we got mechanisms by which we put crap up. They can suck it. You know, this is, you know me, man. I'm just like, no, I will not be denied.
So anyway, back to Argentina real quick, right? So I think that Milei, he is a libertarian, but the reason why the U.S. government was so happy to see him elected was because he made completely destabilize Argentina. Firing 75% of government employees in a country that has mostly government employees is a recipe for a civil war inside that country. It just feels like he's on a path to create massive civil unrest inside Argentina, and then the...
Oh, it was coming anyway. Get it over with. Pull that Band-Aid.
Well, maybe, right? But now, after there was, like, massive civil unrest in Argentina, and Argentina turns into Venezuela, these Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, who love him, by the way, he wasn't there to speak against the World Economic Forum. He was more than happy to go there. I believe he is part of the World Economic Forum's agenda. When he destabilizes Argentina, all of these people like Klaus Schwab and the people that you can't stand and, you know, the liberals in the U.S. are going to come out on their microphones and say, see, this is what happens to countries that elect libertarian leaders. I'm just very, very nervous that he's going to give libertarians and people that want a smaller government a really bad name because of the way he's handling the situation. And he says he's anti-communist and he doesn't want to do business with China, Russia, and Brazil. But China, Russia, and Brazil are not communist countries. Canada is way more communist than Russia, Brazil, and China.
Oh my goodness. There's so much to unpack. What do you see as being the currency or the mechanism for exchange? Because you belied your philosophy when you start talking about, well, countries doing business with countries and this country and countries and countries. I don't give a crap about countries. I give a crap about, you know, Tone in Panama doing business with Ernie in Arizona. That's what I give a crap about. You know, it's when you think about it as an individual thing, from individual to individual, and the promise, which is why this show is Declare Your Independence, was that the only purpose of government was a defense of individual rights. And when it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. I mean, that's why Declaration of Independence, I vote that. I mean, they do this Constitution thing, and they just create a plantation for everybody. The anarchist, libertarian, voluntary, leave me aloneist people come and go, you just created a freaking monster. It's going to, no, we're going to have another revolution. We don't do this Bill of Rights thing, the 10 thou shalt not to government. And so we do that. And then all of a sudden, we get kind of a little stabilization. Okay, as long as all the things the government can't do, they can't, you know, my speech, they can't, you know, take away my ability to defend myself from somebody trying to take away my speech. And then, you know, a bunch of other stuff that they witnessed and went through during the British Empire rule. I'm looking for the freedom of individuals, the decentralization of everything down to an individual. When Russell Brand started becoming a prominence and so on, I had, you know, looked at his stuff because he wrote that book, Revolution, that used the Ron Paul Revolution logo that I created. So when he did that, everybody was freaking out. Oh, Ernie, go get him. He's doing it wrong. And I go, I don't care. You know, we've already defined it. You know, it seems to me like he's going down a decentralized path anyway. Peace out. Don't worry about it. So what happened was, and I said so on, you know, the thread of Amazon chat book. Everybody's freaking out. I got to have a say. And I go, let me tell you what I say. I say, I don't care. Okay. Well, what happens is he comes out for super decentralization down. Now, he might decentralize to his community, be a little more, you know, socialist, lefty, whatever. I don't care. As long as he's not making me pay for it and he's not telling me what I can or can't do in my pursuit of happiness. So I'm going, okay, we're all good. But I go, but the fact that he's even saying that in that way or creating his own little army or doing whatever the hell he's doing, they, them, those that won't leave us alone are not going to like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. So I'm going, okay, what's going to happen? Well, what they always do, deplatform, cancel, this, that, so on. But because of decentralization, because of a competing platforms, because of, you know, they're forcing people off of DNS, the digital naming system. They're forcing people off of the traditional DARPA, DOD, internet stream of whatever the hell. They are creating, which now with mesh networks and satellite and so on, you got a bunch. Starlink changed a lot of things. And all of a sudden, rural America, rural planet Earth, the people that aren't in the cities are starting to have their ability to give their opinion, to weigh in on the internet, to be able to do commerce, to be able to have their own communities, to be able to, from the decentralizing nature of blockchain. This is what gives people the power. Say you got the power, but see, you belie your mindset and your banking and your international maximalism of whatever the hell when you talk about countries and countries. I don't give a crap about countries. You know, well, for the U.S. to do transaction trade in the BRICS of the banking system of the whatever, yeah, whatever, I got Bitcoin. Peace out, or Monero, or R, or whatever the hell, or Doge. I mean, it's going to be, I'm holding on to my Doge. Until when they land on Mars, boom, then maybe I might sell my billion-dollar Doge. So this is, for me, a philosophical thing, down to the individual. Blockchain makes that possible, and Bitcoin demonstrated that in one of the most important ways is financial independence, financial security, financial, they can't mess with it and they can't stop it. And every time over the years, since 09, 10, we started doing first shows on Bitcoin, Vitalik Buterin, Andrei Antonopoulos, Roger Ver, Eric Voorhees, and a gazillion other guys, bunch of times, had them on the show, get it, walking this through, tone. And I'm telling you, there was, once you realize the bad guy's intent, once you see their intent, what is it that they intend to do? Their intent is control.
This battle line's being drawn.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.